You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is Wig Hackers with Daniel Coy, your number one podcast for wig hacking to help you work smarter, not harder. You get a look behind the scenes at what goes on the hair side of the entertainment industry. You never know where my rants will go, so stay tuned.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Wig Hackers Podcast with your host, Daniel Coy. So I have a super-detastic guest with me today, which I am really stoked for you guys to be listening in on where this podcast will go, because truly, I have no idea. I'm very stoked. So I'm going to bring on my guest, Lindsay Mayagu. Totally screwed it up. I'm so sorry. Of She Makes Wigs podcast. So you definitely have to follow the podcast first and foremost. Guys, I've rehearsed that for like 20 minutes in my head, okay? And I still screwed it up. So sorry. Tell them, please. Tell them again. How do you say it?
My name is Lindsay Mayuga.
Mayuga. See? I know no one.
I liked it.
First time ever, right? I say it. I butchered it the most. Awesome. Okay. So you have this super podcast that you go literally everywhere with. Like, there's no, I wish I could say, oh, you're just a, no. You have had the get in the gamut on your podcast. So why don't we tell my wig hackers what do you specialize in? What's your thing? What's your niche?
It's funny. I kind of feel like lately I've been realizing that like I really just follow my curiosity. So I've gone off track before where if someone reaches out to me and is like, I want to be on. And I've done it where like I'll have that person on the show and then it doesn't have that jaju that my show usually has. And so what I found is that I've kind of followed my curiosity. I don't know why I'm drawn to people. I'm just drawn to different hairstylists, people that I think, like, I don't know, that I just think there's something about them. I'm just kind of drawn to their style or how they have found a way to, you know, just kind of create careers and lives that honor who they are and the self-awareness. And so I feel like my husband the other day said, Lindsay, what you're really into is sociology. You love family systems. You like understanding like why people are the way they are. You like kind of just like going deeper. And so I find that like, as I've gotten more curious about myself and like what sets me on fire, I don't even have to try. I'm drawn to people that are doing the same.
Mm. So what made you start your She Makes Waves podcast?
So I started it, the podcast. So I haven't taken a break and I'm still like very much on the fence of taking a break because I'm having a baby within the next week. And
Well, thank you for being on the podcast.
I really love doing it. And I love that I get to learn from all my guests. So it's hard for me to take a break because I enjoy it so much. So I started it kind of coming out of a really dark season where I had a business partnership end and I had a studio that was kind of like my whole identity. I also have, you know, gotten to my new studio within 5 weeks of getting to my new studio, like my marriage, like I was like, whoa, like the two things that my identity was so wrapped up in that I could say anything, it was like, I'm an amazing colorist, I'm an amazing business partner, and I'm an amazing wife. And then when all those identities just kind of in a matter of 5 weeks, like just blew up, it was like, well, who in the actual fuck am I if I'm not this person's business partner, this person's colorist, and this person's wife? And I feel like from that place, I just started to just go on this journey with myself and in doing that found a much healthier way for me to do my career and my life. And then the thing that really made me start the podcast was I didn't know any of it sucked. I thought I was doing it right. And I thought that I was in society's eyes, I was really a success. But then when I started to really get to know myself, I realized I had done it so externally focused that it really didn't honor me at all. And so then I just felt like, well, I have to wait. I want to be like a whisper. I don't want to shake everyone awake because that's annoying. You don't want to walk around and be like, I don't know. You seem happy, but are you really happy? I wanted to just be like a podcast to be like a seed that's planted of like, but are you really happy? Or like, is there a better way you could be doing it? Or like, get curious. So that's kind of why I started it, because, you know, like, I've been able to kind of remake my career, remake my marriage. And it's something like, I feel like you don't hear people talk about a lot, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, just leave everything. It's like, you know, sometimes you do need to leave something. Other times you need to take the time, and there's no easy button out of hard situations. And so I think that I'm actually very flattered to hear that you think my podcast goes all over, because I kind of love that.
It lit, like, I mean, as I was prepping for this, it was literally like running through all, like, nothing stood out. Like, oh, no, it, like, it's funny where the waves, where I was like, oh, ocean waves. And I'm like, oh, but it's supposed to be hair wave. Like, literally. So, like, you're literally the waves. Like one end of the spectrum. Like, you're every aspect. And truthfully, for your listeners, I'm so excited for them to hear, like, what inspires them. What makes them tick? Because you ask those questions, like, you ask those questions to make the listener even feel like they're there and they think, you know? There was one where you were talking, oh, was it Lindsay? I'm totally butchering it too. But you were talking about, oh my gosh, how she started her business. And it was just like, oh, wait, no, but that's how I started mine. You know, like, and it was just like this whole relatability, you know. It wasn't like this, like, oh, I'm the best this. Do you know what I mean? Where some people, like, get that, like, I'm talking to you instead of with you. So, yeah, why did hair become such a big thing for you? How did that come in to your world?
I was like, well, since I was 15, I always wanted hair. I always wanted to be a colorist, and I think I always built my whole life around it. And then I realized that there was a way to love it and have passion for it and do other things. And so I feel like it was kind of like, I don't know, I feel like I was kind of like, as I made the podcast, I started, it was like me in real time giving myself permission to be more than one thing. And I think, like, if you go back to the beginning of it, it's like, oh God, that's rough, hang in there. Like, if you're like, oh my God, I would listen to it. And it was like Lindsay, and then it was podcasting, and then it was Lindsay, and it was like, she's back, we lost her again. And I'm like, that is what getting out of your comfort zone feels like. And apparently it looks like it too. So I feel like, here's the thing I'm just so confident about. It's the thing, like, if my life's hard, all I want to do is color your hair. All I want to do is come in on my birthday and color your hair. But as I've gotten healthier, it's like, oh, I guess I can be really passionate about what I do and be a podcaster and be a mom and have a good relationship. And I think, like, that's kind of, for me, like, hair's always been all there was, all there is. But I think in a way it was almost like, I didn't know if I thought I was smart enough or good enough for anything else. So I think in a way I hid behind hair. But now, like, I can do with hair and be more than just it. And it's like, we were never just hairstylists, but I think, you know, that kind of the programming we get kind of fed about what our profession, and I've never liked it, but now I definitely am, like, I'm going to go out of my way to defy that. So, like, even if I'm in the salon and I'm, like, thinking about my pricing, thinking about how I run it, it's like, it's bigger than me. If I keep pushing the envelope, it's like you and wigs. It's like, it's not just about me. Like, I make enough money, or I'm doing it. But it's like, when I push the envelope, I'm doing it for other people. It's, there's so much more to it than meets the eye, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, hair in general, though, opens up a conversation. You know, I always feel like you can take off my hair. You know, it's the only thing, like, it's the hat to the whole look, you know? For me, I like to feel that we're helping bring out what's already inside of them, you know? And I feel like that's what you're doing, like, with yourself even. Like, I mean, from what I gather is you were hiding behind the hair, and then you finally could actually, the hair could actually reflect what's inside, you know? And you bring it out in other people, you know? And it just helps to know that there's other things, you know? Everyone, I mean, I talk to a lot of newbies in the industry. A lot of, you know, a lot of my listeners are like from like homegrown. They've learned it from themselves. You know, they're doing it from scratch. They're starting their own business, you know, because for wigs, you don't have to be licensed, which that's okay. But I do like to stress to go get your license. I always say that to every podcast so that they can start the journey and to learn more. So what would you give like a listener on my end who is new, who is listening to you for the first time, who is a little bit more wig centric, you know, where they're a little bit more, you know, take a wig and like pluck it and, you know, what would you do? What would your pitch to get them to become be like a colorist?
Well, I wouldn't even say pitch to be a colorist, like to be the niche you want to be. But what I would say is, what I would say to my younger self who would be listening to this thinking like, whatever woo woo shit she's talking about, like I'm in hair school. I want to just be able to like go and like do hair. And like, I am willing to sacrifice my firstborn. And like, listen, I was too. So what I would say is like, if you can get some self-worth outside of what you do, you're going to have a lot more fun doing it a lot sooner, because mm-hmm. my whole identity was what I did. So if I ever had a failure, if someone didn't like their hair, if a wig doesn't turn out, because that shit's going to happen. Yeah. It's like, if you're going to chase a dream, you're going to go after what you want to go after. Like, the reason we're successful, or the reason I'm successful, is like, we've been willing to screw up more times than most people. Ugh. And I think that I could have had a lot more fun sooner if I realized like, oh no, like that's part of the journey. Like, you can actually still sleep tonight and you'll fix your highlight in the morning. Like, I feel like I was so hard on myself. And I think that had I had something that, if I had a little bit more self-awareness, or I knew myself a little better sooner, I could have had fun more quickly. And I feel like there's like a decade where like, I thought that in order, because I loved it, that it had to be, I had to take it so seriously that I didn't, like, allow myself to have as much fun as I have today. Like, if I was helping you with wigs and I screwed up, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I don't want this to reflect poorly, Daniel. But like, I feel like for me, like it wasn't until a couple years ago where like I'd get a color class and I'd be like, this is a complete waste of my time. I wish I was at a street festival drinking a beer with my husband. I'm going to leave. And then I call the guy who invited me to the class and go, I hope this doesn't reflect poorly on you, but I had to get the fuck out of there. And I feel like it's just kind of like being like knowing what's for you so that you can like endure the things you want to endure. And then also knowing that you're going to fail, you're going to have setbacks, and like that's part of the road you've chosen to take. And I think that I thought I wasn't good because I was screwing up, when it's like, no, I mean, like, that's going to come with the territory.
I just like where you come from. I mean, like, I know that sounds so like, I just love that it's just so like raw. Like, everyone, I feel like the Instagram like filter, I feel everyone is like growing up on that now, you know? And like, but it's not all the roses. Like, I would love to post a photo of me crying in a ball naked on the floor because I think I screwed up a Broadway show. Like, you know, the ups and downs do come, but it's like that rawness. Because I'm very raw. I am honest, like, yeah. To almost to a fault, people have said. Almost to a fault, I'm so like, pop that bubble. You are pop, 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 pop. That's been like a huge inspiration for me. So thank you for doing that and being so candid with everything that you're telling people. Because I know people are learning, you know, especially if they're following me, they want to learn. Like, and they know that there's another way of doing what they do. So thank you for doing that. How do you stay on top of everything? How do you keep all of your balls, all of your things going? And now you're gonna have a baby. Have you actually taken a step back to be like, here's the plan?
Yeah, well, I think that I used to overplan and overprepare. And like, I feel like now I've gotten to this place of like, okay, I wanna have a general idea, know what I'm into, and I know like what's in my heart, but then I'm also kind of like, then I have to just see where it goes. But I do feel like having a plan of like knowing what passions I have, and like my husband and I talk about it a lot, because like, okay, like we're going to be able to give our kid a great life beyond what we would have ever had. So I need to get really intentional, this person not thinking that that life's just all gumdrops and rainbows, because I attribute so much of my success and so much of who I am today with the hardships that shaped me. So I feel like for me, I'm I definitely want to work. And the way that I think I'm like you, that I, like you were saying, you like having a lot of things going on. And I think I do too. I just didn't give myself permission because I thought, oh, you can't be good at a number of things. You can only be good at one thing. So for 12 years, 13 years, all it was hair, 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 color, color, color. And it gets you really good, but it doesn't get you to the next level. So for me now, it's kind of have self-awareness around, I love doing hair, but I'm going to do it in a smaller capacity. So my dream and my goal is to go back into the salon 2 days a week, have my coaching business 1 day a week, and still own my studio. I have people that work there, and just kind of have a life. And it's even just give myself permission to be a mom. Think of 7 days in a pie chart, and three of those days, or two of them are going to be salon days. One's going to be a coaching day. And then 4 days, I'm going to be a mom, but work on projects. So I think my ego has to get out of the way, because I'm am I really going to be taking this as far as I want to take it if I'm home with you? And I'll tell my husband, am I even going to like this person? And he's of course you're going to like this person. And I'm I don't know. I just and I think part of it is letting your life happen to you. And then part of it is the preparation and the planning. And so I feel like I'm just open. And I know I'm going to love my kid. I'm not a monster. But I don't think I ever see myself just doing one thing ever again, because I got a taste of what it's like to do multiple things. And I'm oh shit, I couldn't have had it more wrong.
What was because you were when you said you're a colorist, I still feel that. How do you think the industry itself needs a change? Do you think, I remember growing up, it was oh, you're a hairstylist, you cut or you color. You need to pick one, you need to apprentice, you need to be, shampoo person for 100 years, and then you can get a chair. Do you know what I mean? I still hear it in you're I'm a colorist. It's ingrained in you. I know they can't see me. That's the problem. With my podcast is my facial expressions and my language. So guys, I did a really great expression. Even though my Botox is very off because I'm sequestered.
I think they felt it. I think that is old school thinking. And I love when I'm on people's podcasts and they're like, what did you mean when you said that? And I was shit, what did I do? And it's that's so around oh my god, I'm doing it again, oh god, I'm doing it. It's our industry, it was always colorists and stylists, and one of the girls in my shop, one of my renters, she does both, and I love referring people to her. I'm oh my gosh, and if you need a haircut, she's amazing, she does both. I'm still wrapping my head around it. So I'm oh my god, you could simplify your life. You might even doing that more than seeing, she does both. And I'm still connecting in my head that you can be good and do both.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's changing, and I do think but I think that seeing our biases and seeing how it's still it was so ingrained in me, can't be good at both.
Well, that was the thing. I like the full look. Everyone knows I love, I even dabble in makeup. I don't call myself a makeup artist, but I do makeup. It's a thing. So I love the full look, So I've always been that way. So it's always been hard for me going into a salon where they're I'm the number one stylist, colorist of the 18th century of the world. I'm yay, go you. Oh, you cut. Yeah, I do precision cutting from, Matrix himself. I'm oh, great. I'm so excited. I turn the wig upside down and point cut. Does that help? So it's just, it's a little threatening on both ends. You know what I mean? Both ends of that spectrum where school's like, pick one, pick one. What do you like? I'm like, we're learning on the shittiest color in the world. What do you, how do you want me to love this color? Like, so how, what was the breaking point where you're like, no, 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 I can do more?
I think I just, like, I think because I've always been around other people that are reinforcing my biases or my beliefs of, like, it's kind of like interesting time right now. If you think about politics and everything, it's like similar to that, right? Like, it's like if I only ever work with people that I trained with, then we all share this belief system that, like, we only are as good as, like, where we apprenticed. And number two, if Evanston location, but in the company as well. And it's like you realize, like, oh my God, like, I've just been around people. So now I think what it was is I went and I was alone for a while. So I went to my new shop and I was by myself for a year and a half. And I just started to be like, what do I actually believe? Not the beliefs that I picked up from an industry that's flawed. And then kind of realizing that I can then put, then I started attracting people that shared my, so those, like, that's my first renter is like an angel that was sent from heaven. Who's like, we both are like, fuck the system. You know, and we do whatever we want. And then my second renter is a great gal as well. She knew for my first one. So she always says, are you in good terms with this person? Are you on good terms with this person? I'm like, I don't talk to anyone. I was like, because I worked really hard to believe what I believe is possible. And so I kind of feel like I've gotten I've gotten blinders on, and I take the noise away, because the noise keeps you like in a beliefs that, like, these people made these up and now I've just taken them on.
I mean, you're talking things that have happened. Like, we could go back to, like, you know, biblical times, like what we're talking about right here. Like, that's how, like, deep rooted I feel everything is. Like, no one can be their own individual, you know? I feel like everyone has all these labels and everyone has to be something. And I'm just like, but does it look good? Do you know what I mean? Like,
and also, like, right, yeah, why does it have to fit in a box? Like, I don't want to fit in a box. It's a compliment to me when someone's like, I can't figure you out. I'm like, hoo-hoo, that's what I want to be. Like, why do we want to fit in?
That was me.
What are we trying to, so you can feel more comfortable? You'd like to see me as like, or like, someone's like, I don't get, like, it's a compliment. They're like, your studio, it's really feminine. But then I, like, meet you and I'm like, well, I don't know. I get what they were meaning. And I'm like, they couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, I was like, that's okay. That's cool. Like, I feel like we're all walking contradictions. Like, I saw this really funny meme today that was this guy who was talking about, like, people on social media, how really funny, how he had a term for it, like virtual warriors or something. And it was like about how, like, we stand up for things, but don't do anything. But when we see someone, Starbucks got in some hot water. So say you're never going to go again. And what'd you do 2 days later? And he's like, I went to Starbucks. He goes, exactly. That's perfect. Keep up the good work. And it's like, we're all just like sometimes trying so hard to be like, no, I agree. I would never. And it's like, but we're not actually like, we're not actually these people, these avatars we're creating.
Legit. Like, even in our own, for me, I have this preconceived notion of what everyone else is thinking. I'm a great Libra. So, like, I'm like, oh, yeah. And then you, like, actually talk to the person, like, no, I was actually only thought about your shoe because it was sparkly. I'm like, oh, great. Good. Okay. Humble
pie. Like, humble pie. We make so many assumptions. Assumptions. Like, and I make assumptions with my clients. I make assumptions with, like, family. I make a lot of assumptions when it's like, oh my God, like, that's not, the people aren't thinking about me. Huh.
Right. Like, I guess I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage because I have worked with some people who think they're, like, I've had to hold a pee bucket for celebrities, so, because they didn't want to use the bathroom. So, like, I've done it all. But then that just makes me say, oh, I'm getting paid more. you know, right. So it's hard. It's hard. Like, working with a vast variety of artists in the world, for me, it was kind of like, oh, some have grown up very old school. You know what I mean? Like a Carol Burnett where she's like, you know, after the show, you know, hold her hand, walk her down, like a Tiffany's ring for a wrap gift. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, other ones where I'm like holding their pee bag. I'm, you know, grinding up like grass because they had a wheat shock from the first act out of their brain. You know what I mean? So it's just like everyone has their own journey. And I don't think everyone feels like they should have a say in someone else's journey. Does that make sense? Making sense at all?
Yeah.
Well, question. I'm just making a statement. Why am I making a statement?
Fascinating thing. I mean, that those sound like interesting scenarios just in this.
Okay. So what is? So most people know my crazy days and what they entail of. Even though I haven't done a podcast on where I am right now, which is coming up soon, but I have 8 more days to do it. But for you, what is your typical day?
So my typical day, like post-coronavirus, is I was in the salon 3 days, and then I have a course that I launched. So I had a 5-week course. So I had like 11 hairstylists doing this at your own pace course. And then I have coaching clients. So I feel like it's kind of like a lot of variety. And now, like, so like I would have a coaching call, but then in the salon and I see 4 clients a day. So I don't have the kind of crazy schedule I used to have where I'd see 14 clients. Now it's like, I feel like I'm an intentional wherever I'm at. And I feel like the direction matters more than the speed. Whereas I was all about speed and optics before, like, yeah. Like look at the line out the door. Woo. Now I'm like, all 4 of you have been selected to be my client today. And I'm as, you see honored, and I am too. And you and I are a good fit. We're both choosing this. This is beautiful. And like, I feel I feel like there's just a lot more intentionality behind what I'm doing now. And I'm less, I feel like if Lindsay 3 years ago would see Lindsay now, I'd be like, you allowed to be doing any of this? And now I'm like, why not? You know? So, I think just kind of getting my days are just kind of like, I have a lot more agency over them. And I never really knew that I could have that.
Okay. So now this, I mean, I don't know this question, so I can't even like, what is your experience with wigs? Give me a story about a wig that you've been involved with.
Okay. So I there's a couple. The first one that's coming up for me though is I had a client who she had very, very fine hair. So she would come in for color and I would highlight it and then like do a base color. But you know how you're like mostly painting on scalp and like the foils are in the hair, but you're like, I'm a little unclear as if the wind blows, if this is gonna. And so then what started to happen is we started to talk about the possibility of her maybe switching gears. Oh. And it was like, who didn't want to wear a wig? But so she got one and then she would just bring it with her in her bag. And I'd be like, oh, you got it. And then, but then she didn't want to make the transition. I think it had to do with the stigma of wigs and also what it meant for her. And so like we've talked about like how it's not just about hair. It's so much more about like how you feel and matching the outside with the inside. And, you know, just, you know, I think she maybe like, I wish I would have known you then because I would have been like, no, like I have a friend and, you know, actually maybe you would just start with something. I didn't even know at the time that you could just do a hairline or allow someone to start to kind of integrate into this because it's like not everyone go full Monty. I've had a number of people will also bring really, really cheap like scrunchies and they'll be like, what the hell is that? Can you put that away? And they're like, I just thought I'm like, what is that? And they're like, this is my hair scrunchie. I'm like, what do you want me to do with it? and they're like, oh, I just thought it would be helpful. I'm like, for what? You know, and but I do have one more wig story that I is that when I was in high school, I wore my hair kind of shorter, like chin length sometimes, like, you know, flippy, high length, wanted to be a stylist, you get the drift. So it was time for a dance, homecoming, freshman year. And I was like, no, but I want enough to. And there was this kiosk mall called Hair Diamond. And so I went there and I said, here's what I'm thinking. And the lady goes, I got just the thing. So she gave me one of those clips, like with the braid in it and some hair. And it gets better. She goes, we'll put a hair scrunchie around it. And if I can find a picture, I'm going to send it to you.
No, please.
Because it didn't look bad. It didn't look bad. I was like, people were like, look at your hair. And I was like, I know.
I bought it.
It was just like, I bought it. It's clipped in with a butterfly clip.
I know so exactly which one we're talking about.
I had a beautiful experience with adding some hair. I wouldn't call it a wig per se, but
No, that's enhancement. I love it Oh my God, I love it. Prom, I love it so much. I brought a drag queen to my prom. So I totally understand bringing some extra hair. Oh my. Okay, so
there
now
there are bobby pins involved. There are a lot of bobby pins. Oh, you know,
to keep your hair up.
You know that.
To keep your hair.
Yeah, it was an updo.
Full updo. Short back. A lot of hairspray, I'm assuming. A lot of hairspray.
You know, like keep gosling in the back. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
You're like, hey, I do her hair. That's rude. You do a beautiful job these days.
I'm sorry. I normally don't laugh this hard. Holy shit. Okay. Wow. You totally made me lose my train of thought. Thank you. Okay. Here we go. What is your go-to hair product?
Honestly, I don't use a lot of hair product. I feel like hairspray.
Okay. Is there one in particular? Or you don't care?
I mean, no.
Okay.
No, like I'm the hairstylist who's on a trip and is like, hey, throw me out all of that travel size Pantene. Like, I'm not precious about that stuff. Cause I'm like what you said about like, I can go somewhere and I can jimmy rig something together. If we have to make something happen, I can happen. You give me a screwdriver, a pen, and we'll make it happen. I'll brush your hair with a pen.
Oh. It's really nice to find a kindred spirit. Because literally, it really doesn't matter what it is. I'm like, because now with COVID, I'm like, everything has to be travel size. You get your own. You're taking it with you. I don't want it back. So I'm like, I've never used this shit. So I'm like, all right, well, we're using this today. Like, everyone, like, you know, everyone
gets it.
Hello, I buy it in the case full. They send it to me in the case. That's going to hold a wig in place for me. When I put it in a box, it has to go like halfway across the world. It's going to stay with Tresemme. Thank you, Tresemme. This is not sponsored, but it should be. Do you hear that? Hello? Get the sponsorship when we can.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, do you style hair? Do you like blow it out? What blow dryer do you use?
Okay, so I had the Dyson, but it didn't work for me. It kept like shorting out, and they told me, every time I called, they gave me a different reason for why it didn't work. And they were like, well, are you cleaning it with a toothbrush? I'm like, what? When did we start implementing a toothbrush involved?
No, it comes with a thing. It comes with a thing.
Now it does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now it does. That was like rendition 75, I think. So I'm back to what I call Minty, which is my Harry Josh mint blow dryer.
Oh, yes.
It's a compact blow dryer. You've seen it. It's those light green ones.
Yes.
I have two of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because I didn't use two at once, but I have seen people do that. Seems like a real flamethrower move, but I just use it.
I reached out to them and they're not very nice, but that's okay. So what, like, okay, if someone's in the middle of their career and they're at that, like, you know, that what am I doing kind of, you know, that I, what is it, the crossroads? What kind of advice, what kind of inspiration, what kind of quote would you give them?
Yeah, I would say that I've been there. I think most people have been there if they're really honest. And I think that my biggest takeaway from my career is like, we maybe don't need a new way. We don't need a new career. We need a new way of doing the one we have. Because I think that we can have many seasons to this career, and I've had a couple myself, and I feel like there has, like, if it's like one time you have a client that you're like, oh my gosh, I hate doing her hair. Like, I think I want to be a barista. I don't have a degree, so I'm going to have to be a barista. Fire that client and then get back on the road again. Because like, I feel like that's only happened a couple times for me, but that's an end that person has to go, because I'm not going to get a new career. I'm just going to do it in a way that honors me. So I think, yeah, I would say just like take the time to figure out what would make it work for you. And like, I heard something, one of my guests, I like take something from each person on my show. And one of my recent guests said, when we love what we do, we sometimes make it heavier than it needs to be.
Oh,
and I feel like because you care so much, wow, and you love it so much, that you almost feel like you have to have this level of depth to it that sucks the fun out of it.
That so hit.
I feel like, yeah.
That hit me.
So like, let it be light. Yeah, I know. It hit me too. Because I'm like, I kind of act like, I act like it's an emergency room surgery that I'm doing because I take it so seriously.
Oh my, that hit. Wow.
Now you're wearing protective gear that probably makes you feel like a surgeon. So you got to be careful.
No, it's bad. It's when I tell you, because then you have to have the right bag. And then you're like, did I clean it? Where's the alcohol? Like I have to get sprayed down with this sprayer. Like, and I have to hold my breath. Anyway.
And at the same time, be like, what I do is not a big deal. It's not that
right.
Serious.
It's a ponytail. It's a ponytail.
You have to get that mantra going. It's a ponytail. Because it's like, but then it's like, but then you can't totally detach from it, because then it means you don't care. So it's finding the balance. Like, I'm always going to care. I'm always going to care about how it looks and what it's about, but it's finding a balance of like letting go a little so it can be a little more fun.
Yeah, I wish. 6 feet away. Do you know how I can't just whisper like dirty nonsense to people anymore? Like, and I can't text it because then it's a text trail. Like, and then they can't see my mouth because I have the freaking mask on. Anyway, we'll try to make it fun.
Just somehow. Smiling a lot with your eyes.
I have Botox. So now everyone thinks I'm pissed off at them. So I'm like, oh no, I'm going to have to get that wrinkle back. Just so they can have that damn wrinkle. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. Oh my, where can everybody find you? Let's give them the full kit and caboodle.
Yeah. I just changed my Instagram name to Lindsay Makes Waves. It's kind of a big deal in my world.
Okay.
I felt like I had to tell everyone. I was like, guys, I don't want this to come out of left field. I'm no longer She Makes Waves podcast. I'm Lindsay Makes Waves. People were supportive, but you know,
I already did it wrong. Lindsay Makes Waves, everyone. See, I introduced her. She makes waves. Great. Totally happy. Happy to help your change is good. I'm a Libra.
So that's where they can find me. And then there's like, they can go to my website, wavemaking.com, and keep up with me there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we'll have to have you back after you're like, you know, babied out and you need a break. You know, we'll reconvene. And yeah, thank you so much. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Wig Hackers. Did you get a chuckle out of this one? If you could hit that 5-star rating and share with your friends and coworkers, that'd be great. You never know who you're inspiring in the world, and I hope I'm inspiring you. Can't wait to have you laugh with me or at me on the next episode. Till then.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.